Part of our week-long exploration of marriage and why people still want to do it, we turn our attention today to the role of church and state. Is marriage a religious institution or a civil one? Does the church have any kind of role at all? And if so, if it does, where does that leave the possibility of gay marriage and heterosexual civil partnerships? Well, I've been talking to the feminist writer and activist Kate Smurthwaite and to the Daily Telegraph columnist Christina Adone. I asked Christina, who owns marriage, church or state?
Well, I think it's people who own marriage, but if we can change the term and say stewardship of marriage, you know, there's a state, there's the church, and they vie to protect this great institution. And I think that when you look at it in those terms, the state has singularly failed marriage because it has accepted adultery, it has condoned no-fault divorce, it has condoned cohabitation, separation.
Can I just stop you? How has it accepted adultery?
Well, there's absolutely no... Adultery may be immoral, which is a church law, but it is absolutely legal. You can have an adulterous affair and even retain a very high position in politics or in any public sphere.
But that's not the church's fault.
No. I'm saying that it is the state has allowed for a culture of acceptance of adultery, which is one of the many issues that can dent marriage as we know it. And I think that even more interesting, when it comes to tax, the tax system, even of this so-called conservative government, allows couples who are living apart to bring, you know, to keep much more money than couples who live together. So I'm not surprised that there are a lot of people who are married and who think that the state has let them badly down. And in fact, I had one Daily Telegraph reader who wrote to me after I wrote a column on marriage and who said, I was only a few months pregnant when my husband left me for his younger colleague. And it was extraordinary because of no-fault divorce. It all happened so quickly. I had, you know, no recourse to anybody. And, you know, where was the state to protect me and my daughter, who's grown up never to know her father?
Kate, Christina's case is that the state really has no right whatsoever to control marriage. Indeed, it has done the institution a great deal of damage. What do you say to that?
Well, the reverse has to be true. As long as marriage has legal ramifications, which, as Christina points out, it does, it has legal implications in terms of not only divorce and separating, but also in terms of wills, in terms of looking after somebody if they're sick and infirm, in terms of getting a visa for somebody from overseas to live in this country. As long as there are legal ramifications to marriage, it's clear that it needs to be something that's kept out of the hands of the church and something that is equally available to everyone in society. And of course, that includes gay couples. And of course, we do have, civil partnerships now for gay couples. But that the idea of something similar but somehow different, I mean, that's just outright segregation, isn't it? That's a form of discrimination. That's like saying we can all get on the bus, but black people have to sit at the back. It's wrong. And we know it's wrong. We need to live in a society where people have equal access to these things. And marriage is one of these things that it's a big cultural history. Lots of people aspire to it. And so we have to make sure that church isn't allowed to bring its own, you know, often very bigoted views into the forum of these things. We have to make sure that equality is what is the driving principle behind these things.
I don't think you'll mind me asking are you married?
Well, actually, I'm separated, but I have, I mean, legally, under the British system, I am married. And I actually think that, I mean, first of all, I was very uncomfortable doing so in a world where gay people couldn't do the same thing, and in fact we went to great lengths to make sure that our celebrations didn't include the legal part of the ceremony, because we didn't want to be celebrating something that gay people couldn't access. And by the same token, I think if civil partnership had been available to us, we would probably have done that as a way of making it clear that we didn't want to be part of this. But my now estranged husband is American, so we just literally had no choice. If we wanted to live together, that was the only way we could do it.
It is true, isn't it, that Christina, that some feminists really do have a problem with the church's idea of marriage?
Yeah, so do lots of gays I know. And I think that that is one of the reasons why I think civil partnership was the way forward for gays.
But isn't and that
indeed
different but equal?
Is the way forward for heterosexual couples where the woman really, really resents marriage as a patriarchal institution. And I have to say, I have lots of sympathy for that, because I think that there are too many cases where we know that the woman is not only the lesser partner, she is, you know, subjugated at every level.
But if
level
we're going to allow heterosexual couples the access to civil partnerships,
I think we should, then why
are we not going to allow gay couples access to marriage? Why are we saying, well, you can have one of the two things available and straight people can have two of them? I mean, that's just a form of I don't know, sexuality apartheid, isn't it? That's just horrible. Obviously, that's wrong, surely.
I really think that when we talked about civil partnership, we made sure that everything was legally the same. Okay,
but the word isn't the same.
The word is different.
People want the word to be the same because romantic movies don't end with a civil partnership. Romantic movies end with a wedding.
But lots and lots of people I have talked to, and including many of my gay friends many gays who have written about this and talked about this.
But if gay people want something different, they can take something different. There are certainly gay people out there who want something the same and who want to be fully...
To say
some people don't want it, well, those people who don't want it don't have to have it. Let those who do want it have whatever it is they want. And frankly, I hope that not only does gay marriage become legal, but that those churches who refuse to perform it will be hauled up and stopped from having tax-exempt status.
That is precisely what people of faith believe and fear, that if marriage is something that also belongs to the church and will have priests, vicars and rabbis celebrating it and blessing it, what happens if, as you say, the big drive is towards equality and they will be forced to give a religious ceremony to a gay couple when this goes against their own firmly held religious belief?
But if we hold up marriage as an ideal for raising children or indeed simply for existing as a couple, then who would blame a gay couple for wanting that very thing?
But who would want a priest or a vicar to, you know, have to go against his conscience? I mean, surely we have something called freedom of religion.
When you say go against his conscience, though, what you mean is provide services in a discriminated and bigotry way.
I mean this is his belief.
It doesn't matter
whether it's
his belief or
how is belief different
from prejudice? Can you tell me the difference between belief and prejudice?
Because if I believe
that women are second class citizens, that is a prejudice.
But that's not what religious people believe. We're not talking about bigotry. We're talking about faith. And that is something that you're obviously very unfamiliar with, because there is nothing about prejudice and discrimination in the Christian churches.
What you're describing is discrimination.
No, what they do believe is that marriage is one form of an institution. It is, in fact, a sacrament. And it is a sacrament that is not, you know, its terms are not defined by Kate. They're not defined by the state. They are defined
by a church. But its terms have changed in definition. I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned right at the beginning, you mentioned about adultery, and yet the Old Testament is full of adulterers. They're at it all the time. The truth is that how people understand about marriage has changed over the years, and the church needs to keep up with that. And how we understand about homosexuality
has changed. I don't think the church is somebody who is trying to keep up with the fashions of the day. I think that what we have seen is, in fact, two different approaches within the Christian churches to something like marriage. We have seen, you know, the Anglican Church now accepts divorce, and it has changed and accepted that there can be cases where, you know, the man is so abusive that the woman files a petition for divorce, and that should be recognized. My church, the Catholic Church, doesn't accept divorce. And in fact, one of my difficulties with my church is that in its stewardship of marriage, it is so ferocious that I'm outside of the community, as in I'm not allowed to have communion because I'm married to a divorced man.
Well, I mean, I think Kate, in fairness, will probably, and indeed many other people, find that quite hard to understand, Christina. You are accepting of that because you have no choice?
I'm accepting of that because I subscribe to their view of marriage as something that is very, very important, holy, and a sacrament. And what Edward did was, you know, break a church rule, and I, by choosing to be with him, have to accept the consequences of that.
Christina Adonai and Kate Smurthwaite.